And open up your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. I am a fan of snakes, and I know most of you are not, but I confess, from my earliest childhood, I've been catching snakes. I always enjoyed finding them. There's a great diversity of the kinds of snakes in Florida where I grew up. Can you take it down just a little bit more? It's too much feedback on the monitor, sorry. I've always enjoyed finding them, but in Florida where I grew up, there's so many different kinds. Here in Iowa, there are as well. There's 28 different species of snakes. Now, snakes can be very hard to find because they are very good at camouflage. Satan, like a serpent, he likes to exist concealed and unnoticed, especially inside the church. He prefers his assault on churches to be an inside job. The Bible tells us that he can appear as an angel of light, or he can show up as a roaring lion. But he would prefer to appear as an angel of light so that you don't know what he is doing. That's why it is so critical for us as Christ followers to test our hearing. So let's look at chapter 4. We're going to read the first 6 verses and keep your Bible open and be ready. Today we are going to dive deep, and we're going to look at a lot of scripture today that you probably should write down as you take notes today. So 1 John chapter 4, beginning in the first verse, we read these words. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Now remember, John is trying to help us differentiate between a real and a bogus Christian. And one thing you need to know about a real believer is that a real believer knows when to be an unbeliever. Every believer is called to be an unbeliever because love discriminates. Now, he's just all through chapter 3 told us about the power and the importance of love. Love doesn't discriminate on gender or race or socioeconomic status, but love does, and love must discriminate between truth and error. Write this down. A believer must be on the lookout for the Lord of the flies. There is a time to be narrow-minded. That's because the enemy preys on undiscerning believers. Paul warns us about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. He says, "But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough." Please understand, heretics never announce themselves as heretics. No one's ever going to walk up to you and say, I want to teach you some false doctrine right now. They're going to preach a different Christ and a different gospel. They're going to spread darkness, but they are going to claim that they are spreading enlightenment. In the same chapter later, Paul talks about these people in 2 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 13. He says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ." And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It's not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Now, please understand that John is not saying that we shouldn't listen to anybody. When someone says, "I have a word from the Lord," or if they say, "I have a teaching from God," we shouldn't refuse them. He's not saying don't listen to anybody. He's saying test everybody. 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says, "Do not treat prophecies with contempt." Don't dismiss somebody just because they say that they have a word from the Lord. But test everything and hold on to the good. Because not all who claim Jesus actually name Jesus. So go back now to verse 1 and let's look at it again and remember what John is teaching us. He says, "Dear friends, do not believe." That is your job. A believer must know when to be an unbeliever. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You see, a teaching can be spirit-inspired and not inspired by the Holy Spirit. You say, "What do you mean?" Well, the Bible clearly says that false doctrine that comes out of the mouth of false preachers is inspired by false demonic spirits. For example, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Years ago, there was a popular television show called Hill Street Blues, and it was about a police station in a gritty part of town. And every morning, they would begin with the sarge gathering his troops together, and he would give them their assignments, and he would always send them out with these words, "Be careful out there." And that's what John is saying. We've got to learn to be good lie detectors, because Satan rarely ever promotes Satan worship. But he promotes false worship that will be mingled with morality, even miracles. But here's the thing. All false doctrines have this in common. The deceiver attacks Jesus. In Jesus' day, demons would confess that Jesus was Lord, but they would never confess Him as Lord. And so in our day, false teachers inspired by false spirits, they don't replace Jesus as much as they reduce Jesus for someone less than He is. They make room for Jesus in their version of spirituality, but their spirituality, they say, is so much more inclusive. Listen again to what John says, verses 2 and 3. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you had heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here. You have got to learn as a believer how to detect any teaching that begins to diminish what the Bible says about Jesus. Here's what they will do. They will attack His claim to uniqueness. You see, there is no debate among demons about the identity of Jesus. They knew who He was, and they would tell Him, "We know who You are." They would never lie to Jesus about his identity, but they will lie to you. They would not lie to his face, but they will lie to yours. They will talk about Christ, but they will get real fuzzy when they start to talk about Jesus. This is the line that the cults don't want to cross. Oh yes, Jesus is a good man. He's a great moral teacher. He is a son of God, like all of us. He is a way to God. There are many ways. And these people will be very moral, but that's not the test. They might even do miracles, but that's not the test. The test is, do they affirm the apostolic testimony about Jesus? That's the line the cults will never cross. Remember what John said back in chapter 2, verse John 2, 22? Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. You cannot be a real Christian and be fuzzy about Jesus. Over 50 times in the New Testament, he's called the Son of God. And if you are a spiritual person, but you deny Jesus, you are no closer to God as an atheist, as far as John is concerned. The German theologian Karl Barth was teaching at Princeton University on one occasion, and after his lecture, a student said, "Sir, don't you think that God has revealed himself in many other religions and not in just Christianity alone?" And the old man thundered, "No! God has not revealed himself in any religion, including Christianity. He has revealed himself in his Son, Jesus Christ." Jesus is not the first among equals. He is first, and there are no equals. No one else ever claimed to personally be the way back to God. No one else ever built a bridge over the valley of sin that could be trusted. But that's the next thing that the demons will attack. They will attack his offer of righteousness. Not just his supremacy as the unique Son of God, but his sufficiency as the true way back to God. Because they know how scandalous the message of the cross is. So Satan will give his gospels that appeal to our pride. Now, Jesus is very good, but you need to add to Jesus. And then they will fill in a blank. Any answer to the sin problem that adds to Jesus is demonic. This is not new. Paul was fighting this heresy in the church in Galatia. People were saying, yes, you need to trust Jesus, but you also need to be circumcised. Jesus plus something else. And here's what Paul called that in chapter 1 of Galatians. He said, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel," which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned." You want a strong statement? Here it is. You add 1% to Jesus and you are 100% wrong. In fact, Paul says, "The one who does this, let him go to hell." Later, Paul would say in the exact same book in verse 21 of Galatians 2, "I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die." Let me explain quickly how righteousness is achieved in the true gospel. "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." So let's be very clear here. Every religion in the world teaches that you can be saved. The good news of the gospel is not that you can be saved. It is that you are saved by grace, not by what you do. Salvation is a gift because of Jesus. Several years back, some youth ministry students in Missouri took a final exam that they will never forget. The class was taught by a man named Dr. Tom Huffy. He told them that they were responsible for everything in their book that they had studied over the entirety of the semester, which is a fair request of a college class. So they studied and they crammed and they came to class the day of the final. And the test was on every desk and it was turned over. And he told the students, "Don't turn it over until I tell you." He gave them the word. They turned over their test, and to their surprise, at the top of every test was the name of the student sitting at that particular desk, and every question on the test was answered in red ink. And then on the last page of the test were these words: "This is the end of the exam. All the answers on your test are correct. You will receive an A. The reason that you passed this test is because the creator of the test took it for you. All the work you did in preparation for this test did not help you get this A. You have just experienced grace." The gospel is that Jesus perfectly met all the conditions of God's holy law and you got his grade. Any gospel that doesn't teach that has failed the test. And any teacher who denies the total supremacy of Jesus and the total sufficiency of Jesus is not connected to the Holy Spirit. The demons will attack his claim to uniqueness. They will attack his offer of righteousness. And one more thing, they will attack his call to holiness. John says of these false teachers and spirits that they speak from the viewpoint of the world and the world listens to them. Why? Because the devil is smart. He gives people what they want and he makes it sound spiritual. And so false teachers baptize sin. This is not a new thing. In my lifetime, I have heard preachers baptize racism and use the Bible to do it. You can tune into preachers today who will baptize greed, and they'll tell you that God, his will and plan for your life is to be healthy and wealthy. There are right now many churches in our nation that are no longer teaching what for 4,000 years was the Judeo-Christian teaching on sexuality. That God made us male and female. Who would ever have thought those were fighting words? And that sex is for a man and a woman in the covenant of marriage. You will never hear that in many pulpits across this land. There are so many pulpits now that would say, that's not true anymore. They would not put one limit, one restriction on sexual behavior. And to do so, that is sin. Satan gives people what they want and he dresses it up many times in the fine suit of a preacher behind a pulpit. Here's what the brother of Jesus said. Jude, verse 4, the latter part, would say, "They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord." You see, if you dismiss sin, you attack Jesus. Remember, Satan specializes in calling darkness light. Remember that great little book by C.S. Lewis called Screwtape Letters? It's about a major demon who is discipling a younger demon on how to tempt men to sin against who they call the enemy, who is God. And there's a great line in that book where Screwtape, the major demon says to the younger junior demon, Wormwood, you will say these are very small sins. And doubtless, like all young tempters, you are anxious to be able to report spectacular wickedness. But do remember, the only thing that matters is the extent to which you separate the man from the enemy. It does not matter how small the sins are, provided that their cumulative effect is to edge the man away from the light and out into the nothing. There is a reason he is called the Holy Spirit. And any spirit that leads you away from holiness is not holy. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, and the latter or first part of verse 8. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil. I have, sadly, had the experience of flying out of O'Hare Airport numerous times out of Chicago. It is named after Butch O'Hare. He was the first naval aviator to win the Congressional Medal of Honor. He was a World War II hero. There's a reason that he got into Annapolis. His father was called Slick Eddie O'Hare. He was Al Capone's lawyer. He was very entrenched in organized crime. And he wanted to give his son a chance at a better life. And so Eddie squealed on Al Capone and gave federal authorities information that led to Al Capone's arrest, knowing all the while he will most likely be killed for doing so. And he was. Within a few weeks of talking to the feds, Slick Eddie O'Hare was gunned down. And officials at Annapolis believed that sacrifice was proof that this young Butch O'Hare was not part of the crime world that his father was. Let me ask you something. Did Jesus die so that you could stay where you are, or so that you could become what God always meant for you to be? You need to leave any teacher that is telling you to stay where you are. You need to leave any teacher who would say to you, you were born this way. You need to just continue to act out sexually. There's nothing at all wrong with that. You've heard the phrase dead duck. How do you become a dead duck? It's simple. You don't recognize the decoy. If you are a duck, and you see something down on the water and you don't know that it's a decoy, you don't know that it is fake, and you decide to land there, you are a dead duck. And John says it is the same thing in the spiritual realm. You better be able to recognize the decoy. How do you pass the test? He's been saying this all through the book. You listen to the apostolic testimony. They were with Him. They saw Him. They touched Him. They heard Him. And the Spirit has recorded everything they saw. So you listen to the apostolic testimony and you listen to the witness of the Spirit. Remember what we said a few weeks ago in chapter 2, that we have an anointing, the internal teaching of the ministry of the Holy Spirit that is pointing us to the truth about Jesus. He says in chapter 2, verse 26, I'm writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and He lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what He teaches is true. It's not a lie. So just as He has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. So let's wrap all this up with what we started with. But we belong to God. And those who know God listen to us. If they don't belong to God, they don't listen to us. That's how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. See, John says a receiver of the Spirit of truth will have good hearing. Do you notice what he did at the start of the text? You better test the speaker. But at the end of this text, he says, it is a test of the hearer. But how do you know who the real Christian is? The real Christian, filled with the Spirit of God, knows when he is hearing truth about Jesus. And he knows when he is hearing lies because he is led by the Holy Spirit. God has provided us with what we need to survive the propaganda that bombards us every single day. Hundreds of feet down in the ocean, the pressure is so great that if you went down to those depths, your body would be crushed. But men go down there. Well, how do they do that? How do they get down there? They do it in these things called diving bells. Why isn't the diving bell crushed? Because the pressure inside the bell is greater than the pressure outside. Remember what he said. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. God has put His Holy Spirit pressure inside of us to keep us from being crushed by the pressure of lying spirits in the world. That's why you find yourself increasingly thrilled and alert when anything lifts up Jesus. And that's why you find yourself increasingly disturbed and upset by anything that ignores or diminishes Jesus. This hearing test is the difference between a real and a bogus Christian. I read this at the very beginning of our worship service today. What you heard from me, Paul writes, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Do you realize, loved ones, there is no grounds for boasting. We can't even boast on what good hearers we are, because even our hearing is the work of God's grace in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have so very much to thank God for, don't we? So why don't we do that together? Why don't you stand up? And let's just do that right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness in our lives, Father. We thank you for your word, which tells us very, very clearly there are demonic spirits out there trying to lead us astray. There are demonic spirits that are putting into the minds of people that stand behind pulpits, God, lies about Jesus, lies about your word, lies about the truth. God, help us to be loving, but help us to always speak the truth. And help us, Father, to never waver on what is right. Help us to never have fear to say, no, that is wrong. Help us, God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, to walk in step with the Spirit, to live in the light of truth, to be equipped, God, by your word. This is our prayer in Jesus' name.